You have dwelt long enough on this mountain, he said. Down the dark, painful valley road, my shepherd led. Where the storms fierce assailed, so I clung to his side. And it was in my darkest valley I learned in him to abide. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship when I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time. God is good. He never could become anything else. He's simply using each trial to draw me unto himself. I can't despair because God's will and mine do not agree. Just trust the hand of the potter to form his image in me. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship when I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time. Now I've seen God working all things together for my good, fully keeping each promise just like he said he would. Faith is claiming the victories, of victories yet unseen, through evil meant to me by others. His goodness still reigns supreme. I know God is good all the time, so I can choose to worship though I'm tempted to whine. Almighty grace will still amaze, will find his power through his praise beyond my storm. His sun still shines. God is good all the time. I know God is good all the time.
Thank you, Brother Cole. Thank you, Sister Cole. What a blessing. The other night in the service, when I looked over there at the piano and I saw Sister Cole at the piano singing, and her daughter and grandchildren around her, bless my heart. All those years I remember when the girls were just so high and they started coming. And just a blessing to me. Well, I've appreciated this meeting. It's been good, just as she was thinking, all the time. It's been good all the way through. I appreciate Brother Angel and his hospitality, his organization. I appreciate his being a real preacher. I mean, he's got a real heart. You tell that, can't you? Sometimes, I hate to say it, but sometimes I've seen artificial preachers. Got a canned sermon. Somebody else. I don't meddle with that. I'll leave it alone, but you know what I'm talking about, I think. Appreciate Brother Coyle, that message he preached the night there, and what you said about this meeting is kind of on the theme I want to get on tonight, Brother Angel. It kind of calls us back. It kind of resets things. It kind of reminds us don't get off the path. And you talked about the path would disappear if it's not traveled. And that's so good. Especially as I look out here at these young people and praise God, so many of them are. I was talking to Luke a while ago. He told me he had three boys. I said, well, maybe the Lord's not coming quick as I thought he was. Got other preachers coming on up. Amen. But, yes, God is good all the time. Amen. I praise the Lord for it. Appreciate getting to see some of the brothers. Brother Paisley, good to see you and hear you this morning. Brother Smith, good to see you again, and all the different ones, and just been real good. And I appreciate the opportunity. Somebody said at your age, you ought to appreciate any opportunity. I do. Little boy said to one of my preacher friends about my age, he said, come to him after service and said, were you on the ark? Preacher said, well, no, son, I wasn't. He said, how come you didn't drown? Now, I kind of understand that a little bit. I appreciate my pastor, Brother Parsons, flying up with me. I appreciate him helping me through that O'Hara airport. Wow. Been years since I'd been through there. I've been trying to dodge it. But I want you to open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, you understand about the scripture. We understand the difference in the law and grace in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I believe in the dispensations. But I also believe all scripture basically has three ways we look at it. It does have a historical setting. It does have a doctrinal application, sometimes a little hard. But it also, and we are correct, even from the Old Testament, of gleaning spiritual applications. Paul said it's written for our admonition, for our examples. And so I want to take, and I'm going to shorten the text, because if I read it all, it's just a little bit too long. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we'll start off and just read a few verses, and then I'll put you in the context. You can read it all later. Deuteronomy 27, just jump into verse 11. I want to talk to you tonight on what I can glean out of this text. The Israelites are coming up to cross over the Jordan River, and God does an unusual thing here. He kind of stops them before they go into the promised land and says, hold it. We're gonna have a reset. Have you noticed in the news they're talking about the great reset? Yeah. Biden and whoever's pulling his strings behind the curtain have plans to destroy America. And they're doing a big job of it right now. There's no doubt about that. It is amazing to me. I thank God for our governor in Florida and Texas governor and others that are standing. I really do. I think our governor is very gracious on the thing. Somebody sent, I don't know if it was Hunter Biden, that one of his deals, he got some very expensive material. And he sent it to his dad to make a suit out of it. Brother Green Sleepy Joe took that material to his tailor. And the tailor says, not enough material here to make you a suit. Governor DeSantis in Florida heard about it. And he said, send it down here to my tailor. So they did, and he sent it back. Not only did he make him a suit, he made him two pair of pants extra. And President Biden said to the governor, how could your tailor in Florida have more material and made more than a suit? The governor said, I just want you to know you're not near as big a man in Florida as you are in Washington. Man. Oh, amen. He's not that big in Texas either, and some other places, praise God. Look at it here in Deuteronomy 27. Moses charged the people the same day, saying, verse 11, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you come over Jordan. Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali. Now, I was in Israel, been over a couple, three times, but the first time was in the 70s. We were riding on the tour bus and had the guide and all the routine there. And he was a pretty informed guy, but he was not a Christian at that time. Thankfully, by the grace of God, we won him to the Lord before we got home. But he had some Bible knowledge. So we were riding on the bus, you know, the big old Mercedes diesel bus, you know, big old windshield. And he had the bus pull up and stop. And he had several preachers on there, and he said to us preachers, you see out in front of you, what are you looking at? And you can see two mountain peaks. God gave me the grace, and I said, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. He said, how'd you know that? I said, I read my Bible too. And of course, he talked then about Mount Ebal, where the curse was announced. Mount Gerizim, where the blessing. Now, if you read that chapter, next chapter, you'll find out the tribes stood up and said, if you do this, you'll be blessed. And it names the blessings. And then if you do this, you'll be cursed. And it names those. And as they were crossing over the Jordan, what God was really doing, Brother Angel, he was resetting them. He said, stop. So God's in the resetting business. We got the liberal crew in Washington and everywhere else that's wanting to reset America, pull America down, bring communism in. You know the whole thing. I believe the plandemic that's been on us and all the rules. By the way, I thank God I'm going to get on that airplane tomorrow without putting a mask on. There's a preacher friend of mine that has a good doctor there in our area when this whole thing started. Now, you wear the mask if you want to and all that, and we've all had to some. But that doctor told my preacher friend, he said, look, the money's in it, so I have to go along with it. But he said, the mask don't help nobody. He said, the mask would be like standing behind a chain link fence in a Florida swamp and asking a mosquito not to come through and bite you. That's the illustration the doctor used. So we understand that, but we understand the control that's been used, how it's trained the people. It has encouraged me greatly to see America roll over and play dead like we did. And, of course, it's hurt the churches and all of that in many ways, and that's too bad. But what I think we need to be aware of is this was a big plan to take over and bring our country down. Not just the COVID, but the whole system. And they found out they could control it. By the way, even Christian people, as you read Hebrews chapter 2, about the fear of death. I had a man come to me, Brother Parsons, in our church, and he just pitching a fit about me not closing the church down. And finally, I looked at him, I said, what are you afraid of, heaven? Claim you're saved. We didn't get along too good over it. I finally told him, I said, you do know you're going to die sometime, don't you? It's amazing. The Bible says we're not to have a spirit of fear. But we look around and see too many people. Now, I understand being cautious and all of that, and somebody's got some other problem and all that. But bless God, you might as well trust the Lord with the whole thing. Amen? But I look around and I see the crowd. There's been a plan behind it. If you had names like Linda and Bill Gates in the vaccine business and all that, do you know that they went over to Switzerland in a meeting, and you can look it up, some of you folks know how to do it with your little magic box. I'm not much on that. But conspiracies and all that, I don't get into all that, except to say this thing was already planned out. And this coronavirus, yeah, it was real, but coronavirus has been around a long time. Anybody ever get some dewormer to put in your dog? Read the label. Got some on the shelf 10 years old, got coronavirus in it. That's why they gave it to. Hey, listen, a big con has been pulled in a great way. Yes, it's killed some people here and there, but so did the swine flu. So did the bird flu. So did just the plane flu. Amen. And so I don't want to park on that much longer because I got a sore spot there. I think you can tell that. But the World Economic Forum had a meeting over in Switzerland. And the whole plan, they even wrote a book, and it was called COVID Reset. Don't let a crisis go to waste. Take control with it. And look how the people have been trained on this thing. Jump through the hoop every time the government said jump. Amen? And that whole meeting was discussing the weakness of capitalism and wanting to replace it with socialism, and, of course, that's communism. And that was already planned. Now, when I say that, it was, they had a simulation meeting. They discussed how they'd use the media. Didn't they use the media? How they'd use the media. How they would have lockdowns. All of it was already premeditated, planned out, and they brought it on us just exactly like they planned it. Now, to you and I that are Bible believers, we know evil men are going to wax worse and worse. We're not expecting anything different. We shouldn't be surprised, as we heard the good preaching this morning, Brother Wade talking about it. We've been saved. I don't know about you, but as he was preaching, I thought over and over how many times I've been in the battle, and I didn't quite see the way out and didn't know what God was going to do, but I would say, thank God I'm still saved. Amen. I mean, bless God, that's good. What he preached this morning is so good. But you know, this wokeness business, how many of you noticed, sort of in our face here, not too many weeks ago, news media didn't cover it much. I think I saw one picture on one news flash. In front of the UN building, for the lack of a better word, I'm going to call it a statue, but it was a metal image of a beast in front of the UN, and the title they put on that thing, and it's still there, you can see it, is called The Guardian for International Peace and Security. And if you've ever studied Clarence Larkin's book, and you ever looked at Schofield's notes, of course, on Daniel and Revelation and Larkin, you can see that leopard with the wings on it and the heads on it, and they got that image right now sitting in front of the UN building. It's like Satan put it in our face, the beast is here. You read out of Daniel there, the ten-horned beast and the little horn that comes up among the ten. Hey, the image is right there. The plan is globalism. That's what it was. Bring America down and put the whole world together because the Antichrist is wanting to take over. And he is. Sad truth, folks. But it's true. You know, they want to reset the country, take our freedoms. take our liberties. And they reset us morally. You see all the fight and fuss in Florida because the governor took a stand against them teaching our kindergarten through third grade to be transsexuals. And even Disney World got so offended, and they're trying to undo the bill that was passed. Nobody read the bill. They called it the nobody say gay bill. No. We just don't believe it's right to take a parent's kids and set them down and talk that garbage to them. And I'm thankful that the governor took a stand on that. And, oh, yeah, he's had the fight Disney World of all. Disney's supposed to, listen, entertain our kids. Now, we're close to Disney World. About, 35-minute drive, maybe, Brother Parson. And we've had people work there at different times. I've had people quit because they said they did not want to be around the homosexuals they had to work around. They have gay pride marches. Now, Walt Disney himself was a good guy for his things like that. He'd turn over in his grave, I believe. When they first opened it up, Brother Dennis, you know our standards back then. We were preaching against long hair on men and short skirts on women. When he put out job applications, they had to come in. The boys had to have short haircuts. The girls had to be dressed with right-length dresses. That's the way it started. There's no kin to that now. It's a mess now. I get off of that except to say that this wokeness business reset the morality of our country is what it amounts to. When Obama was president, he said we're going to spread the wealth around. We're going to bring in hope and change. Well, he took away the hope. The change is still happening. Too bad. But I look around here and I see where God told the Israelites, before you cross into the promised land, let's stop and consider this thing. Let's reset. He gave them a choice. Oh, when they crossed the Jordan, I know they went through for a while until Joshua and the elders were gone. But the truth of the matter is, God is still letting you and I make a choice. Where we're going to go right or wrong. Now, God had some of the tribes get on top of Mount Ebal and say, now, if you do wrong, this is what's going to happen. Let's look at my Bible here. I was out not too long ago, a friend of mine, Johnny Pope, preaching with him. And he sent me this through the mail just recently, Brother Angel. See the copy of it here? That's a little lead plates. They found this on the mountaintop in Israel. What's big about that? Well, it shows them that Israel was writing just like the script in the Bible much earlier than they thought. See, they said, oh, no, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that's the oldest. And as far as the Exodus, there was no eyewitnesses to the Exodus. Israel couldn't even write then. They couldn't even... Hey, this is 1,350 years earlier than they said they could write. And not only that, they called it the Cursed Tablet. Guess where they found it? On the Mount of Cursing, Mount Ebal. Lead tablet. Now, that's not exactly without precedent, because if you were to look, in Job 19, don't look now, just write it down. Job 19:24, the verse says something like this, that they were given, Job was talking about, I wish this was written in a book. It turned out it was. We got the book of Job now. But in Job 19, he said, all that these things were written are graven with an iron pen and lead, L-E-A-D. These are lead tablets. They found them on top of Mount Ebal. Now, you know what it said? That's the cursed mount. Mount Ebal is the cursed mount. So here's the text. I'll read it to you. It reads, cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the God, we would say Jehovah. Hebrew. Cursed by the God Jehovah. You will die cursed. Cursed you will surely die. Cursed by Jehovah. Cursed, cursed, cursed. That's what the tribes were saying on the Mount Ebal as the Jews crossed the Jordan. Now on Mount Gerizim, they were saying, if you obey God, you're going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. Well, you know what? When the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom on earth, he's going to give us the kingdom we'd have had if we'd have chose Mount Gerizim over Mount Ebal, so to speak, if we'd obeyed him. You see, God is not a big bully. He'll bless you if you will obey him. He'll give you a choice. He didn't make you a robot. He'll give you a choice. And the truth of the matter is, that still holds. I know that's Old Testament, but I want to tell you, God still honors them that honor him. And his promises are still to those that love him enough to serve him and obey him. Amen? I think about this a little bit here. God has a reset plan. He has a reset plan. The government thinks they have one, but God's got one that's going to take preeminence over it. Amen? And you can read about it. If you want to look over in Matthew chapter 19 and pick it up in verse 27, Jesus was having a discussion with Peter about it. Over in Matthew 19, 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter was good about putting his foot in his mouth, but so are we. What's in it for me? Verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. Here's what I want you to get. It says, followed me in the regeneration. That's the reset. It's coming. God's reset. The regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I'll stop there, but you get the point. There is coming a regeneration. There is coming a reset from God. An important reset, amen? You know, the world could have chosen the blessings instead of the cursing from the Garden of Eden on. Man's commentary, the commentary of Israel, if you were to graph Israel through the Old Testament, you'd find they'd get right with God, the graph would go up. Then you'd find, well, they'll go down. You'll find it got so bad in the days of Josiah when he come on the throne, they had the sodomite houses built right side the temple. And he had to destroy them. He did the politically incorrect thing, didn't he? He destroyed them. That abomination, that sin, it still is. Still is. But you think about that. The world today, we're in Isaiah 5, I guess it is there, where it says he calls evil good and good evil. There's a place there where it says, he that would be against evil makes his own soul a prey. You come under attack. That's where we're at now. The governor in Florida is trying to do right. He's under attack. Preachers that take a stand come under attack. Just stand for good. You know, in my early days in a little town where I've been through these years pastoring, I've said this many times in the pulpit, I used to get more pat on the back when I was racing my cars and getting my name in the paper. Then I come to church, I took the church and started preaching for God and doing good. I got more criticism than I ever got when I was doing wrong. Man, that's the truth. Isn't that ridiculous? But that's the way it is. Just flipped. Just flipped. But you know, God has got a reset plan. Oh, I praise God. They're trying now to do this thing with the nations. God's going to reset the nations. You ever read Matthew 25, when Jesus comes back, he's going to sit on the throne of David, and the sheep and goat nations are going to come before him. He's going to reset them. There may be a little resetting going on now. Most of you preachers, you've preached on it. I've studied it a lot, and we can't say much about it right now except to say that what's going on in Russia and Ukraine right now doesn't surprise God. He's already written about it. Ezekiel 36:39. I hope you've reread that since some of this stuff's going. See, there's a block of northern nations over there that God said, are they going to unite together and they're going to get a thought in their mind and they're going to go down against the unwalled villages. That's Israel. You say, well, what's happening now? Well, the big thing hadn't happened yet. They haven't headed toward Israel yet. But when they do, they got a surprise. God is going to destroy them on the mountains of Israel, according to that passage. Now, the nations are listed. Most of you know this. It lists Persia. Persia is Iran. We're doing the most foolish thing in America right now. We're helping Iran get nuclear weapons. Probably already got them. That whole block, by name, named right there in Ezekiel 38, is getting together. I even heard ex-President Trump say the other night, he said that Biden had been able to do what nobody else had been able to do. He'd brought Russia and China together. That's true. Did you ever read in the book of Revelation where a 200 million army is going to cross the Euphrates River? See, China is the big boy behind the thing. We live in exciting times. I'm not afraid of it. I've read the back of the book. I know how it turns out. Amen. Now, for my grandkids and others, I have some concern. But listen, God already told what was going to happen. And he said over there in Ezekiel that he's going to do it for his name's sake. That the heathen is going to know who God is. Amen. Interesting, it almost seems like there's a reluctance right now, even with Putin and Russia and all of them, almost like they are going to do it, but they're hesitant. Ezekiel says God's going to put hooks in their jaws. And he's going, you ever caught a fish? He didn't just swim up to your boat and get in. You pulled him in because you had him hooked. They're hooked. They think they're doing what they want to do, but they're resisting. They don't feel good about it, but the truth is they're hooked. And they're going to pull right in the exact thing that God says they're going to do. Exactly. They're being hooked and brought in. Now, you know what? Truth of the matter is, God is going to get the glory out of it one day for the world to recognize who is God and who Jesus is. Psalms 2 says he's going to set him on Zion's hill. The heathen can rage and people can imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth can imagine a vain thing, but he's going to set Jesus on Zion's hill. He will come back and sit on the throne of David. He will rule the nations. And there will be the sheep nations on the right and the goat nations on the left. And all of that, he's going to reset the nations. He's in the resetting business. You know, it's a wonderful truth. Wonderful truth that God is on the good side of resetting. You know, Brother Coyle mentioned, I do love prophecy and I've preached it for years. I kind of see all the sevens coming together. Are y'all, can't teach you science here. Maybe a little bit. But, you know, the theory of the 7,000 years, the week of years, that goes back a ways. Anybody know who Polycarp was? Polycarp was the understudy of John the Revelator that wrote the book of Revelation. Polycarp had a wonderful testimony. By the way, he was martyred at my age, 86. When the Roman captain come and picked him up in the chariot, what was his charge? He wouldn't go along with the government program. What was the government program? The government program was that you recognize Caesar as Lord. In Latin, Caesar is licit. The word licit is license. You got a tag out there on your car, a license plate. You know what that tag says? It says somebody is superior to you, and you had to get a tag, a license, permission to drive your car. Like, that license is licit. They said, Caesar's licit, and Christians have to bow down. And Polycarp would not say that Caesar was licit. He was an old man, 86. The Roman captain picked him up in the chariot, taking him to the to the bonfire to be martyred. And he reasoned with Polycarp. He said, look, all you got to do is wear the mask. Now I added that. All you got to do is say, Caesar's, listen. Polycarp's, these words are recorded. Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he's never failed me yet. I'll not deny him. He gave his life. Yeah, Polycarp believed in the 7,000-year theory. He believed, like, go to the Genesis and you run 7 days. Then you run 49, you keep on the 7. What was it? Ivan Panin, the Russian mathematician, came out in the late 1800s. He was agnostic, coming out of Russia, wound up at Harvard University back when it was halfway decent school, started by preachers. Anyway, he showed the study of the Bible in the Numbers, especially the number 7, he showed that all the scripture had a tau-detic, I'm probably saying it wrong, heptatic, wherever you put the punctuation mark, structure. Now, here's what that means. It means the scripture has a sevenfold structure to it in the number 7. Seven or multiple of seven. Seven that'll divide by seven. And all. And there's no book like the Bible. It's a supernatural book. He put out an offer of 15,000 pounds. That was a lot of money then. Still would be now. To anybody that could show any other book or writing that had the sevenfold structure that the Bible has. Nobody ever got that money. You'd still get those writings. Figure it out. He studied it in Hebrew, he studied it in Greek, and he showed this phenomena. The little hippie boy, about 19 years old, got saved in my church. You'll remember him. Probably about 1972. His name was Kevin Mann. You remember Kevin? He beat drums in a hippie band. His arms was all shot up with dope. His teeth was rotted out from dope. I'll never forget the night he got saved. Several people were getting saved. And I made a mistake. First one, only one ever made, but I'll tell you about it. I looked over to my left. People was at the altar getting dealt with. I looked over there and Kevin was down there. And I thought, oh, God. I don't know if you got grace enough for him. That's a terrible thing to think, but I thought it. And that boy got saved. He started growing like a house of fire in the Lord. Somebody in the church got him a set of brand new false teeth. He's still a teenager. He's riding his teeth out. He started putting on weight. He never had a music lesson in his life, but he was the best song leader I ever had within a year. I mean, he was good. He wasn't mean as Luke is about setting the people down and standing them up. I'm playing with him some. But he had the talent, and he grew. Well, years have passed since then. Now he's one of the best Bible students you'll ever see, printing books. You can probably get his books off Amazon. I think you can. You ought to get them when it comes to the supernatural King James Bible. Not only did the Russian mathematician Panin do it in Hebrew and Greek, Kevin showed in the English of the King James Bible the same sevenfold structure. It's a supernatural book. Amen. I'm not trying to run through some of the sevens with you, but I want to tell you something. That theory was this, that if the Lord Jesus is coming back on that schedule, now I'm not date setting. Don't go out and lie about me. I think he could come tonight. I think his coming is imminent. I don't think another sign has to happen before the rapture could take place. So if we're clear in that, I want to say this. Understanding the sevens a little bit. basically, if you go through Larkin, Schofield, and other prophecy writers, they'll say there's about, you know, Archbishop Usher will also tell you, as far as dating the Bible times, that probably there was about 4,000 years from Adam, about 4,000 years to what is normally called the cross, or Jesus' birth. Then we know from that time on, we're counting 2,022. So we know a little over 2,000 years. So you take the 4,000 and you add the 2, and you got 6. And we know, according to Revelation chapter 20, at least 6 times it says the millennial reign is 1,000 years. So you add that, now you got your 7,000 years. But wait a minute, somebody said, no, we've gone past. It's 2022. We've gone past. Should have happened, if it was going to happen on the 7th, should have happened at the year 2000. 2000, 4,000 is 6. Millennial reign is 1 more, makes it 7, complete. 7 is the number of completion, you know that. But wait a minute. Wherever you end up always depends on where you start from. If you start one place, you wind up at another place. Now, if you start, like a lot of the commentaries will do, they'll start dating around 4 B.C. Or some maybe just even as much as 4 A.D., but generally 4 B.C. Well, by that figure, then we've already gone over more than 22 years. But I say the starting place is wrong. I do not believe it's counted to his birth. According to Daniel, the 70 weeks are determined on God's people. 70 weeks of 7 years. A week of years is 7. A week of donuts is 7. A week of oranges is 7, right? So if you get your starting place right, Daniel gave us a date. We just had Palm Sunday not long ago. Read your Schofield notes and others. 483 years to Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem exactly on the day, Passover week, that he was supposed to. In fact, he was the Passover lamb. And when the priest in the temple compound was cutting the throat of that four-legged sacrificial lamb, you know what the priest did? He got there with that lamb that had already been inspected and was ready for the irony. And when he cut that lamb's throat, he cried out. You heard them singing the other night. He was saying, it's finished. And that's what Jesus cried on the cross, because the real lamb was hanging on the cross. Now, you go from that date and you start counting. And guess what? We got some time left, but not much. Not much. If you'll do about fourth grade arithmetic on it, and you'll take, we're in 2022, 22 years past the 2000, preacher. No, wait a minute. If you start from the date that Daniel gave, Palm Sunday, the crucifixion, the resurrection, you take 22 from 30 A.D., you got about 11 years that Jesus would still be fulfilling the completion of the sevens. I'm mudding it a little bit. I need a blackboard to show you. In fact, some of my college students would say, give him a week on that. And then he'll test you on it. Amen. But the truth is, it just may be the old archbishop was right on his dating. It just may be, as you count the years up in the Bible, well, Jesus should have already come. No, he's on time. He's not late. He's coming on time. Now, I'll push your button just a little bit further. If, and I said if there's 11 years, we know the 7-year tribulation. We know the length of it, don't we? The 70th week, 7 years, Daniel 9, 27, right through there. We know that. So let's say could you imagine taking the 7 from 11? What would you have left? We may not have time to get home tonight. I'm joking a little, but I'm excited about it. You're not going to scare me with heaven. Amen. Or the rapture. It could happen any time, folks. And this Bible would still be just as true. It'll be just as fulfilled when it happens. And somebody's going to say, well, I didn't know. Yes, you do know. We should have a spirit of expectancy. What are we told to do? Not sit down and give up, but occupy till he comes. That means keep on doing what we're doing. Winning souls. Faithful to church, run the bus routes, do all we're doing. And in the midst of our work, if the trumpet sounds, that's just extra. I mean, that's blessing. Amen. God's going to reset this world one day. He's in the reset business. I'm so glad he's in the reset business. Oh, I remember a time in my life as a teenager. And it's been a long time since I was a teenager. I'd almost cry about it, thinking about it, Brother Angel. I stood in a department store right there in Haines City. Building's still there. My little mama was there. She brought me in for me to be measured up for a dinner jacket for the junior-senior banquet. I was probably a junior that year, I guess. She didn't have any money. Daddy would once in a while get a little money and send it home from the old truck he was running. I had two younger brothers. I knew how tight the financials were back then. And yet Mama wanted to buy me a dinner jacket because she wanted her boy. She was proud of her boy, but I wasn't very proud of him. I knew things she didn't know. I knew I was already expelled from school that she didn't know. She didn't know the trouble I was in. And I, till this day, remember standing there with pain on the inside because I hated to see her spend the grocery money. I hated for her to know the truth. It hurt. The guy measured me up, thought I had a bad attitude. He was fussing at me because I wouldn't, you know, it was hurting. And so help me God. I had never maybe been to church a time or two, didn't know any gospel, didn't know any Bible. I'd never heard these words, but this word came. I said, God, I'd like to be born again. I never heard that term. Never heard it. My mind went back to a little creek bed when I was in the third grade in Georgia, living on a little farm close to the school, where when I'd walk home from school, I'd stop at that little creek and watch the water run across the rocks and look at the green trees. And I'd heard about all the things, fairies and Santa Claus, all that business. And I remember getting on my knees at that little creek and saying, God, this is so pretty, you must be real. Oh, I believed in God from that time on. And when I stood there with my heart hurting, and that guy measured me up for that new coat, my mind went back to that time. I thought, Lord, if I could go back there and start over, I wouldn't make this mess. I wouldn't be in this mess. Oh, if I could get, I didn't use the word reset, never heard it. Never heard born again, but I remember thinking if I could go back and start over as a baby, born again. I didn't know that was possible. Had no idea. I didn't know it pretty much that very same time. There was a little 13-year-old girl in Detroit, Michigan, walking the aisle in a little independent Baptist church, getting saved. She'd become a Sunday school teacher. And God, in his providence, would move her one day, a few years later, to a little town called Haines City, Florida. This young man with an aching heart had grown up to be a fairly popular race car driver and thought he was a hot shot.
and I heard about a pretty girl coming to town. And I asked my buddy, I said, let's date them. He said, she won't date you. Two sisters, they won't date us. I said, why? He said, they're funny. They go to church. I said, she'll date me. I'm a hot shot. I was macho before the word was ever invented. I had a first class car by that time, and my name was in the paper. I was winning races. And I said, she'll date me. And I remember what James said. He was driving his brand new, I'm dating myself now. He was driving a brand new red and white Bel Air V8 Chevrolet. And I had a blue and white one just like it. We were hot shots. And we got to arguing. He said, they won't date us. I said, they'll date me. And he pulled out a dime. That really dates me. Pulled into a service station. Pay phone. No, kids, there was a time there were no cell phones. Pulled into there, and he said, I know she's living up there with her uncle, and here's phone book, just call him. I had to put up a shut up. I called, and would you believe she answered the phone? I told her who I was. I bragged on me. I asked for a date. I asked her first, do you know who I am? Oh, yes. I thought, boy, she knows who I am. What I didn't know, I found out later she really knew who I was. She's very smart. You teenage girls, listen to me. Don't you go for the first thing that wears pants. You find out if they love the Lord. Really love the Lord. I mean, really. I asked her for a date. She said this. She said, the only place I'd go with you is church. You know what I said? I'd heard somebody else say this. And I went to church, the roof would fall in. I talked around, turned on my charm, and come around again. She still said, the only place I'd go with you is church. Shortened up the story. I went to church with her on Sunday night. Didn't tell my buddies. Didn't tell the boy in the car when I went back to the car. He said, you didn't get a date. I said, yes, I did. But I didn't tell him where I was going. No, I didn't. The truth is, I went to church four times. Brother Green, I heard the gospel four times. Best news I ever heard in my life. I resented it first. I remember getting back here. We left the church. She said, what did you think? I said, who gave that preacher the right to holler at me like that? And that's what I said. See, every time he pointed at me. Seemed like. I asked her again, all right, you go to the races with me. I'll be racing on Friday night and Saturday night. And she said, nope, only place I'll go with you is church. You know what we've been doing? We've been going to church together for 64 years now. Here's what is real. I'm standing there with a hurting heart. I want to be born again, but don't know a thing about it. I was really wanting to be reset, a new start. And all the time, God had a plan. Send a 13-year-old girl down the aisle getting saved, going to grow in the Lord, going to come down and one day have courage enough to say, the only place I'll go with you is church. I got reset. Never wanted to be reset again. It's lasting. It's eternal. It's God's plan. All the world's got a reset plan, but that's no good. God's plan is good. And I'm going to say to all you young people, get in on God's plan. Get in on God's plan. Oh, I could go on about that, but yes, chain reaction. She got saved. I got saved. How many has been saved in the ministry since then? You know? If you do right, get on God's blessings. No telling how many others have their life reset too. Or just shouldn't take this much time. I'm going to just say this and quit. Just a few weeks ago, Brother Coral, I had a funeral. First time I seen that boy, I was a teenager in high school, and my old car broke down, and I was on the hood trying to fix it. I was probably 17. And I realized somebody else was on the hood with me, and I looked, and it was this boy. His name was Jack. He helped me get going that day, and we became fast friends. Then I got in the hot rod business, racing business. And he was one of my top mechanics. Oh, we were loyal to each other and our friends in those days. We probably saved each other's life for a time or two. We went through a lot of things together, racetrack-wise. But I met a saved girl, and he didn't. And he went the Mount Ebal way. He kept going the wrong way, the cursed way. And time went on, years went on. I only saw him at a distance of time or two during those years. And here, just a few weeks ago, I heard that he lived a pretty rough life, but he finally got married and he had some kids, but I didn't really know much about it. But I got a call. It was from one of his grown sons. He said, You used to race with my dad. Y'all were friends back in the early years. I said, yes, that's right. He said, well, he's dying, and he asked for you. So I went. He was able to stand up and talk with me just a little, but it looked like the wind was going to blow him away. He was dying. So I, of course, asked him about his soul. Told him the gospel a little bit. And really didn't get a profession of faith out of him that day. The hospice nurse was there, and it was a little bit awkward. But then I got a call, said he's dying. So I went back and was able, on his deathbed, even though he couldn't open his eyes, he could mumble a little bit, and he could squeeze my hand. And I gave him the gospel and asked him to squeeze my hand if he'd accept Jesus. And he did. I had to preach his funeral. And I knew the crowd at the funeral would never believe that Jack could be in heaven. He'd not lived a Christian life. He'd not lived a really good life. But I told him, I said, I'm going to shock some of you and tell you today, I believe I'm going to see him again. I believe it. He made it just like the thief from the cross at the last minute. The last minute. I want to say to you here in the auditorium, you might need resetting tonight as a young person or older. It's never too late. You can get reset. True reset. God will reset you. If you'll turn from your way, repent from your way, and come on the God side. Come on Mount Gerizim and take God's side. You could tonight. Oh, I still remember enough to cry about the pain in my heart when I wanted to be born again and didn't know how. And it was so rejoicing to me at the funeral. I could say, a thief made it at the last minute. And my friend Jack, I'm going to see him, I believe, on the other side. Reset at the last. How about it tonight? How would it be with you? Father, may you add your blessing in Jesus' name. Brother Angel, you come.
His coming is imminent. And according to 2 Peter 3, the only reason he waits is because he's long-suffering, that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that you tonight? I remember some years ago, Brother Carter preached a salvation message to close this meeting out. And I think 3 or 4 folks were saved. This is not designed to make you doubt, but it is designed to make you look in. Are you saved? Anybody in the room tonight would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I need to get it right before Christ comes. Anybody like that tonight? Would you slip your hand up? Not sure I'm saved. Side to side, front to back, in the balcony. See a small child. Amen. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you had Brother Ross's message and now this message. And it's good to know that God can reset a person. If you're saved, kind of gotten a little sideways with God, like Brother Ross preached, you can get reset. Reset. The right way. Maybe some other decision you've been halting to make during all these messages. This is the time to make it. As the music plays, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar be open for a little bit. You obey the Lord tonight. Do you need to come? Think about what you've heard if you've been here. It's not too late to get reset and finish strong. You know, those laborers that went to work at the 11th hour of the day, they got the same reward as those that have been working since 6 o'clock in the morning. On this side of the rapture, it's never too late to make the right choice for God. Get on the right mountain, the mountain of blessing.
Well, what a closing message. It's been a great conference. And hope to mark your calendar for next year. Somebody going to have to help me with the dates. I don't have them in front of me, and I threw my calendar away on my phone. Somebody hacked my browser, and I was getting stuff through there that I didn't want, so I just threw it away. Of course, I don't get emails anymore either because I turned off the cookies and the candy and the popcorn, all that stuff. I turned so much stuff off, my phone doesn't do anything but work for phone calls and texts. So, anyway, okay, Beam, thank you. Mark your calendar for next year. It will be April the 17th, 18th, and 19th, a Monday through Wednesday. It'll be the third full week of April. So if you can come, be a part of that. Mark your calendar. Pass the word on. Let other folks know about it. If the Lord used this to be a blessing to you, let folks know that word of mouth is a powerful tool. Just letting people know, bring somebody with you, come back to yourself, and pass the word on to some other people that haven't been here. And it's this way every year. The power's there. The blessing's there. And it moves my heart. I'm thankful that we had this week together. And the Lord may come for next year. If he does, we'll go ahead and sit at his feet, and it'll be much better. But in the meantime, just keep on keeping on. Amen. Please do me a favor. I'm going to dismiss you here. I hate to end it. When it comes to the last night, I always hate to end it.